Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei said the Islamic Republic will return to its nuclear commitments only if the U.S. lifts all of its sanctions first. Meanwhile, the U.S. president says Washington will not lift economic sanctions on Iran in order to get Tehran back to its nuclear commitment. Government officials in the Czech Republic say the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic are worse than those of World War II. Appreciate you being with us. First story takes us right here to Iran, where the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says Tehran will return to full compliance with the 2015 nuclear deal only if the United States lifts all of its sanctions first. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei says that is the definitive policy of Iran and will not be changed.
Leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says the country will return to full compliance with the 2015 nuclear deal only if the United States lifts all its sanctions first. The Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or the JCPOA, is the name of the nuclear deal Iran clinched in 2015 with world powers, including the US. But America withdrew from the accord under former President Donald Trump and reinstated anti-Iran sanctions. Now, the new president, Joe Biden, says the U.S. will return to the deal, but Iran must first return to full compliance. Iran rejects this, arguing that it was the U.S. that exited the accord and breached its commitments. Ayatollah Khamenei says it is the definitive and irreversible policy of Iran that the U.S. should first lift its sanctions. The leader also says that it's Iran that has the right to set conditions on the nuclear deal, as it has fulfilled all its commitments under the agreement. The leader's comments follow calls by some Western countries to renegotiate the Iran deal and expand it beyond its nuclear program.
But I do believe that we do need to finalize indeed a new negotiation with Iran, and President Biden has a critical role. We have to address as well the ballistic missiles issues, and we have to address the stability of the region. And this comprehensive agenda is to be negotiated now.
Iran has time and again stressed that the JCPOA is non-negotiable. The country rolled back some of its commitments in May 2019, exactly a year after the U.S. pullout. Iran did so after the European countries in the JCPOA, namely France, Britain and Germany, failed to make up for the U.S. withdrawal. Tehran has repeatedly said its rolling back measures are fully reversible once other parties fulfill their commitments. Iran says the ball is now in U.S. court. It says President Biden should now decide on whether to continue the policies of his predecessor or choose a new path. Those policies by Trump under his so-called maximum pressure campaign have already been described as a failure even by some of Washington's closest allies.
Meanwhile, Iran's foreign minister says the 2015 nuclear deal has already been negotiated and cannot be subjected to any new talks. Mohammad Javad Zarif made the remark in an interview with CNN. He also said Iran will not hold talks on its defensive capabilities. Zarif said what should be addressed is the U.S.'s arms sales to West Asia. The top Iranian diplomat also said his country only suspended some of its commitments under the nuclear agreement after the U.S. pulled out of the accord. Meanwhile, U.S. President Joe Biden has said his country will not lift its sanctions on Iran to get it back to the negotiating table. He told CBS News that Iran should first stop enriching uranium. Barry Grossman is an international lawyer. He believes it is absurd that the U.S. expects Iran to go back to full compliance with the nuclear deal first because it was Washington that withdrew from the accord in the first place.
So I think the starting point here is that neither the JCPOA nor the position that's now being taken by Atlantic world nations, and I consider the United States and the European signatory nations to be equally complicit in this obvious breach, this illegal repudiation of the JCPOA. It's clear that this was not and is not about any genuine concern of Iran having a nuclear weapons program. The underlying concern is about resistance, about Iran's continuing resistance to submitting to Atlantic world governments, to Atlantic world social programs, to the recognition of Israel. The United States and other countries have made it perfectly clear that their concern is about Iran's perfectly legal missile program, that their concern is about Iran's refusal to recognize the legitimacy of Israel, and that their concern is about Iran's refusal to embrace Atlantic world foreign policy in the region.
The Czech Labor Minister says the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic are worse than those of World War II. Jana Malakova said the pandemic has made the Czech Republic stop working for a year. She said the country is at a standstill and the entire economy is struggling. The Czech Republic has registered more than 1 million confirmed COVID cases, including over 17,000 deaths. It is among Europe's worst hit countries in terms of infections and fatalities per capita. Meanwhile, some other European countries are tightening restrictions, including those involving their neighbors, to battle COVID-19. Austria says it's tightening border controls to all neighboring countries to prevent non-essential travel. The move comes as Austria is preparing to cautiously loosen some restrictions at home this coming week. The country witnessed large anti-lockdown demonstrations last week. Meanwhile, Greece says it's extending restrictions on domestic and international flights for up to 2 weeks. It has also tightened lockdowns in some parts of the country. Denmark and Switzerland have imposed new restrictions also. The measures drew protesters to the streets in both countries on Saturday. Well, our correspondent in Brussels, Jerome Hughes, says people in Europe are frustrated with the prolonged coronavirus restrictions in their countries.
But there's no doubt people are very frustrated. And even here in Belgium, we have new data in relation to police fines. And police have drawn up more than 200,000 reports relating to people breaking the restrictions since they were first introduced last March in one form or, another. And they've collected 7.6 million euro in fines. But interestingly, in relation to those statistics, the majority of those are under the age of 30 years old. So it's invariably young men who get very frustrated and perhaps do not listen to the advice in terms of not socializing and so on. But there is a great deal of frustration here in the European Union and concern, Marzia, in relation to the vaccination program, because Ursula von der Leyen, the head of the Commission, said that she hopes to reach the target of vaccinating 70% of the EU's population, and the EU is a population of 446 million. So two-thirds of the population, roughly, she wants to see vaccinated before the end of August. But it's not looking like that target will be met. And, you know, we've seen the European Commission being accused of being too slow to sign contracts for advanced purchase orders with these pharmaceutical firms. We have three vaccines that have been approved so far here in the EU, with Pfizer, Moderna, and the AstraZeneca. But also that the European Medicines Agency, which is another EU institution, has been accused of being too slow to approve the vaccines.
Palestinian human rights organizations have welcomed the International Criminal Court's rule that its jurisdiction extends to Palestinian territories occupied by the Israeli regime since 1967. Ashraf Shannon reports.
Palestinian human rights organizations have hailed the decision by the International Criminal Court, ICC, after affirming that the court has full territorial jurisdiction over the occupied Palestinian territories, including the occupied West Bank, Jerusalem al-Quds, and the Gaza Strip. Al-Mizan Center for Human Rights, together with its partners, stressed that immediate action must be taken by ICC Chief Prosecutor Fatou Bensouda to investigate Israeli atrocities and ensure justice and accountability for Palestinian victims. For decades, the Israeli regime has been causing pain and suffering for Palestinians. It has waged three wars on the Gaza Strip and has kept the tiny enclave under a crippling blockade. Tel Aviv has also increased illegal settlement activities in the occupied West Bank and in Jerusalem al-Quds.
This is a very important decision, and Palestinians have been waiting for it, because it might finally bring them justice after many years of Israeli occupation and crimes. The crimes have been systematic and taking place on a daily basis.
Families of war victims in Gaza say the ICC decision is a step in the right direction towards achieving justice. They demanded that Israeli leaders be held accountable for their crimes.
Israel has killed 8 members of my family because it felt that it would get away with it. Today, we want justice for our loved ones.
The ICC must prosecute Israel for its war crimes during the last three wars on Gaza because of its forces killed and injured thousands of innocent and unarmed Palestinians, including my son.
For decades, the Israeli regime has demonstrated zero accountability to crimes perpetrated by its soldiers. Rights groups demand accountability mechanisms to ensure that Israeli perpetrators are brought to justice in accordance with international law. Experts say that Tel Aviv's crimes against Palestinians will continue to go unpunished as long as it enjoys protection from the United States.
Israeli forces have killed and injured thousands of Palestinian civilians in the Gaza Strip since 2008, acts that amount to war crimes and crimes against humanity. Ashraf Shannon, Gaza.
Meanwhile, several Palestinian rights organizations have reported the arrest of more than 450 Palestinians during different Israeli raids across the occupied West Bank in January. In a joint report, the organizations, including the Prisoners Affairs Commission and the Palestinian Prisoner Society, said 93 minors and 8 women were among those detained last month. That reportedly brings the number of Palestinians languishing in Israeli jails to some 4,500. Some of them are put under the regime's so-called administrative detention for up to 6 months without trial, which is extended to an unlimited period. Palestinian rights groups have decried new Israeli detentions amid the coronavirus crisis. The report estimates over 350 Palestinian inmates have tested positive with COVID-19 in different Israeli jails due to the regime's deliberate medical negligence. Mona Kandil says Palestinian inmates face a very difficult situation in Israeli jails, with hundreds of them contracting the coronavirus.
They are being held in a very difficult situation in Israeli jails and military centers. This is, of course, is illegal according to the international laws, especially now with the spread of the coronavirus, this pandemic. The prisoners, many of them were infected by COVID-19. Over 360 Palestinians were captured at this pandemic from the Israeli jailers and from the Israeli guards. And they are not isolated. They don't receive medical care. They continue to face medical negligence by the Israeli military.
Moving on to other news now this hour. The first mass burial of Azadi Kurds killed by Daesh terrorists in a northern Iraqi town of Sinjar 7 years ago has been held in a local village. Amid tight security, relatives of the victims carried more than 100 coffins during the burial ceremony attended by official delegations and civil society organizations. Back in 2014, more than 3,000 Azadis were killed and nearly 7,000 Azadi women and girls were abducted and sexually abused by Daesh in northern Iraq. The United Nations denounced the onslaught as genocide. The first exhumations of mass graves began in March of 2019, led by a UN investigative team in collaboration with the Iraqi government. More than 80 mass graves have been discovered in the area, and 19 of them have been dug up so far. The European Organization for Human Rights has called for reopening the Sana'a International Airport. The rights group made the call at a press conference in the Yemeni capital. The event discussed the dire consequences of the continued closure of the airport and the siege imposed on the country by Saudi Arabia. Our correspondent in Sana'a, Abdul Latif Al-Washali, reports.
Yemeni officials and the European Organization for Human Rights have held a press conference aimed at renewing calls for reopening Sana'a International Airport. The rights group affirmed that the continued closure resulted in more loss of lives, killing patients who can't travel for treatment.
The closure of Sana'a International Airport has exacerbated the human suffering, starting with the stoppage of airport workers who support their families and the inability of patients to travel for treatment, especially the elderly and children. This constitutes a real tragedy because patients are forced to travel to very remote governorates to reach an airport that works, and the roads are rough and deteriorate patients' condition.
The director of Sana'a International Airport said the closure is a major reason for the humanitarian crisis in the country, as it has turned the country into a prison, banning the patients from traveling for treatment.
The closure of Sana'a Airport turned Yemen into a large prison, which is a war crime because it led the country to a humanitarian catastrophe. The airport serves more than 11 governorates and is the only airport for these governorates. There are more than 100,000 patients who died because they were unable to travel for treatment, and there are still about 400,000 patients who are at risk of losing their lives, while some 25 to 30 patients die every day.
Yemenis have been suffering the world's worst humanitarian crisis since Saudi Arabia, backed by the U.S., launched a devastating war on Yemen in 2015 and imposed a siege that has fueled starvation in Yemen.
Human rights activists say that Sana'a Airport must be reopened to allow thousands of patients to get proper treatment as the first step to lift the siege imposed on the war-torn country. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
People have taken to the streets across Myanmar to denounce a recent military coup that ousted the de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi. People took to the streets in different cities, including the largest city, Yangon. Protests took place for a second day in a row. So far, the demonstrations have largely been peaceful. People want the release of Suu Kyi and other officials detained by the military. The army seized power on Monday over vote fraud in November general elections, as Suu Kyi's party won by a landslide. It also announced a one-year state of emergency and put restrictions on the internet. Those restrictions have now been removed. The coup in Myanmar has drawn widespread international criticism. And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Yourself.
Amir Ishmanandi from India.
was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is talking the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, February 7th, 2021. I'm Atefer Irfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. February 10th marks the 42nd anniversary of Iran's 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran. This victory ended a generation of U.S.-installed tyranny that deprived Iranians of their fundamental rights. Iran regained control over its sovereign independence and natural resources, and the U.S. no longer able to plunder them. For Iran and its people, there is no turning back to control by a repressive foreign power and its installed puppet regime. The victory of the Islamic Revolution of the Iranian people triumphed over the oppressive Pahlavi regime and put an end to 2,500 years of tyranny and oppression for good. The Islamic Revolution was undoubtedly the most important event in the contemporary world and the 20th century. The victory of the Islamic Revolution has had deep impact on different aspects of the Iranian people's life. This revolution enjoys characteristics and principles that have their roots in Islam. Characteristics like self-sacrifice, justice, and a struggle against oppression. So, congratulations on the 42nd anniversary of the victory of Islamic Revolution to all freedom-seeking and justice-seeking people around the world. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. As you may know, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. However, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus pandemic around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. So please be patient until the disease is controlled around the world. Then we in IRIB English Radio can get back on track and send you the souvenirs of our radio and also QSL cards. And here, I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Toshio Shibata from Japan, Konstantin Luzgin from Russia, and Rafiqul Islam from Bangladesh. Bashir, Konstantin, and Rafiqul Islam, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters. Most of them are actually congratulations message on the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during our program I will read their emails and letters. Here we have an email from Hey Mercia from the Philippines, one of our regular listeners. Also, we have an email from Toshio Shibata from Japan. Mr. Jayant Chakrabarty from India has also sent us an email. From Italy, we have an email from Pastorino Gianni. And from Tausif Abbas from Pakistan has also sent us an email. Thanks a lot, dear listeners. After a short break, I will be back with all these kind messages. Welcome back. First of all, we have an email from Hey Mercia from the Philippines. Hey Mercia is, as I said, is one of our regular listeners who says, Dear IRIB, I would like to congratulate a happy 42nd anniversary of 1979 revolution. I would say that the revolution was a prelude of something big to happen for the next decades. I'm so glad that Iran, after 1979 revolution, no longer suffered from the U.S. imperialism and a corrupt regime. First of all, salam and greetings to you, Hey Mercia, from the Philippines, and thank you very much for writing this congratulation message to IRIB English Radio. Yes, in 1979, after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Iranians got rid of U.S. imperialism and any dependency, and the victory of this revolution became the source of inspiration for all freedom-seeking and justice-seeking people and countries around the world. So, congratulations on the 42nd anniversary of the victory of Islamic Revolution to all freedom-seeking and justice-seeking people around the world. Thank you again, Hey Mercia from the Philippines. Write to us soon. We wish you all the best. Also, from Japan, we have an email from Toshio Shibata. Toshio Shibata says, Hello, dear friends at IRIB English Radio. I would like to send you a report on the reception of medium wave broadcasts here in Tokyo, Japan. Could you please check the report and the recording and let me know if it was IRIB broadcast? Best regards and take care. Salam and greetings to you, Toshio Shibata from Japan, and lots of gratitude for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. It seems to me that you've already joined IRIB English Radio listeners. Welcome. Yes, we received the report and the recording, and so please accept our deepest thanks for them. Toshio Shibata from Japan, please tell us which programs you like the best. Tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Thanks again. Toshio Shibata from Japan. Dear friends, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, one of our regular listeners, has sent us a congratulations message on the victory of 1979 revolution, Islamic Revolution of Iran. And this is such a long letter, actually email. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India says, the 1979 revolution has been a watershed event, not only for the proud and heroic Iranian people, but also a glorious chapter in the annals of world history. The Iranians had showed the world that a determination can take on the mightiest forces of imperialism and exploitation for consolidating its national interest and honor. The opportunist West has always been after Iran's rich oil resources, so they had supported a puppet autocratic monarchy of Mohammad Reza Shah Pahlavi to serve their nefarious goals. However, the alert Iranians, led by their charismatic leader, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, with popular support from the students, men and women, thwarted these evil designs and fought successfully for safeguarding national sovereignty and independence. This dramatic event of 1979 shook the world and ushered the birth of the Islamic Republic, voted by a national referendum. After passing through 42 years of glorious achievements in different vital sectors, Iran has taken its rightful place in the Committee of Nations. It is a strong nation and has a strong voice to be heard by the rest of the world. However, as Iranians celebrate this happy occasion, they should not be complacent. Danger still lurks from many quarters to destabilize and derail the fruits of development achieved since the advent of the revolution. Economic sanctions have been imposed to impede the country's development. However, the world today respects a strong Iran that is fully capable to defend itself from any external aggression. The revolution has paved the way for pragmatic and progressive ideas leading to a profound change in the life of its citizens. The revolution of 1979 has taught the Iranians to support and defend the oppressive people of the world and to uphold and promote international law of peace and justice. Salam and greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. And please accept our warmest and deepest thanks for writing such a thoughtful and great email to IRIB English Radio. Yes, the victory of Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979 ended a generation of U.S.-installed tyranny that deprived Iranians of their fundamental rights. Iran regained control over its sovereign independence and natural resources, the U.S. no longer able to plunder them. For Iran and its people, there is no turning back to control by a repressive foreign power and its installed puppet regime. Iranian sovereign independence threatens U.S. imperial interests by encouraging and inspiring other nations under its yoke to break free. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, again, thank you for writing this email to IRN English Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon, and congratulations on the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran to all justice-seeking and freedom-seeking people around the world. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters and congratulation messages from around the world. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. From Pakistan, we have an email from Tausif Abbas. Tausif Abbas says, greetings and congratulations on the occasion of the 42nd anniversary of the Islamic Revolution in Iran to you all. What impresses me about your revolution is that how one individual changed the whole dynamics of the West Asia region and the world in general. How selflessness of the leader can achieve such a success and can result in ousting of dictators and oppressors. The outstanding features of Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, in my opinion, were selflessness, the vision, the spirituality, the humbleness to others, kindness, and many other virtues. Salam, Tawseef Abbas from Pakistan, and warm thanks to you for writing such a thoughtful message to IRIB English Radio. And again, congratulations on the 42nd anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution to all justice and freedom-seeking people from around the world. Thank you again for writing this congratulation message to IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. Write to us soon. Tawseef Abbas from Pakistan. Also from Italy, we have an email from Pastorino Gianni from Italy. Pastorino Gianni from Italy says, greetings from Andorra, Italy. I'm receiving with great pleasure your program. I would be happy to receive your QSL card. Thank you in advance and best regards. Salam and ciao, Pastorino Gianni from Italy. And I do express my appreciation to you for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. We are glad that you're satisfied with IRIB English Radio broadcast. As you said, you're receiving it with pleasure. We're so committed, we in IRIB English Radio, we are so committed to our role in providing the best quality of programs and broadcasts to our dear listeners around the world. Thank you again, Pastorino Gianni from Italy, for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Write to us soon. Dear listeners, time tells me we have to skip to the next part of our program, that is today's interview, which is conducted with one of our dear listeners. Stay tuned.
Well, my name is Christopher Lewis. I live in the United Kingdom, in the West Midlands in England. My hobbies include, of course, shortwave listening and listening to other broadcasts from different parts of the world. I also enjoy reading and growing vegetables, gardening, all these different hobbies. And I have to say that shortwave listening is probably my best out of all of these. In general, I've been reading about the Islamic Revolution quite in depth over the past couple of years. I'm still absorbing lots of information about it, and I'd just like to read some of my personal impressions that I've gathered from reading various sources on the internet and also from books. Basically, the revolution created high moral values in Iranian society. It created a sense of self-respect, and it's also an example to other nations of how society can live together peacefully. The revolution also represented the Iranian ideals and brought them forward. It was also a protest against ancient imperialistic influences as well. And going further on, it also created and brought forward Iran's freedom from oppressive regimes. And it also is an inspiration to a lot of people around the world who are repressed. It also shows the world and proves to the world that Iran, of course, is not dependent on any other nations for its survival. And Imam Khomeini brought into reality all that the Iranian people had hoped for. It's created Iran as a well-functioning nation and has also enabled the founding of good relations with many nations around the world who value the same high moral standards. And I think that it's most important that we create a sound understanding of each other's cultures and also improve education about culture, expelling any myth and misunderstanding that can be created by the most part by mass media. Well, I think from my point of view, and people of similar thinking, that the Iranian revolution has proved that you don't have to be bossed around by any other organization. You don't have to be told how to live. It's sort of like a shining beacon to peoples, you know, around the world, not just in Europe but in other countries of the world. It's proved that it's a strong power and it's a sovereign nation. It's just very, very encouraging.
And here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Keep in touch and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pastoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pastodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is Bahman, the month which reminds us of love and empathy.
Bafizi, 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 Ey shahidan rahe khuda, Ey karde, bahre ehyaye haq jan fada, Kas batre, batre ye khune paake shoma,
Art in Light of Islamic Revolution. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, today is the 8th day of the 10-day dawn, which marks the period in which the Islamic revolution of the Iranian people triumphed over the oppressive Pahlavi regime and put an end to 2,500 years of tyranny and oppression for good. The Islamic revolution was undoubtedly the most important event in the contemporary world and the 20th century. The victory of the Islamic Revolution has had deep impact on different aspects of Iranian people's life. This revolution enjoys characteristics and principles that have their roots in Islam. Characteristics like self-sacrifice, justice, and a struggle against oppression. In view of this, it has affected art too. Impressed by the Islamic Revolution, Iranian artists have created works that reflect pure humane values. The Islamic Revolution directed artistic works toward divine and humane values. No doubt, one of the important aspects of this revolution has been to train individuals who are in pursuit of perfection and sublimity, not merely for themselves, but for their fellow humans and the entire humanity. In view of this, mention can be made of painters like Ali Vazirian and Mahmoud Farshchian, filmmakers like Ibrahim Hatamikia, Majid Majidi, Kamal Tabrizi, Narges Abyar, Abul Qasim Talibi, and Sayyid Reza Mir Karimi, poets like late Hamid Sabzevari, Sayyid Ali Musavi Garmarudi, and writers like Sayyid Mehdi Shojai. Cinema is surely among the most important branches of the art of the Islamic Revolution. This art has been known overseas as the first Iranian art. In fact, the Iranian cinema has gone through ups and downs since 1900, yet it gained momentum after the year 1979. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution, little by little, talented forces started working in playing in films, which differed much with the films made in Hollywood. Thus, cinema in Iran ushered in a very new era in which sexuality had no place and almost all works pursued lofty values. The most outstanding theorist in the field of cinema and media was martyr Sayyid Murtaza Avini. Avini was a director of documentaries who had unique views on art, cinema, and media. He described the art of the Islamic Revolution as follows. The art of the Islamic Revolution takes the format and material of the Western art, but will give it a new spirit and image. Eventually, it will be distinct from the Western art in terms of material and format. Then, in the next phases, it will try to create changes in the material and formats of art in compliance with its own spirit and commitment. Martyr Avini considered cinema as a medium to communicate concepts correctly. He has indeed founded the Islamic and revolutionary cinema. He has materialized the features of the Islamic art, namely commitment, humane look, attaining the cognizance of God, and struggling against falsehood. One of the most distinct features of art after the victory of Islamic Revolution is paying attention to family and preserving the dignity and status of women. The pre-revolution cinema was an immoral arena where few women dared to enter it. But the trend changed a lot after the Islamic Revolution. Today, there are numerous actresses who have catapulted to fame both in Iran and abroad. Moreover, a considerable number of women have entered in other cinematic domains to work as writers of scripts, directing, and production. There are few cinematic events in the world where there is no work of Iranian filmmakers. Some of the Iranian filmmakers and actors have got global prize too. Iran's cinema gained Oscar reward in 2007 for the first time with the film Children of Heaven. And 12 years later, it got the same reward with the film separation of Nader from Simin. This year, Iranian filmmaker Majid Majidi's film, The Sun, has participated in the event with Ruhollah Zamani as the adolescent star of the film. Among other prominent filmmakers after the Islamic Revolution, mention can be made of Cyrus Alvand and Dariush Mehrjui, who have created good works. In short, the cinematic art after the Islamic Revolution has got rid of the yoke of immorality and instrumental view on women. Although there is a long way to go yet, young filmmakers have also made precious works in recent years. Among them, one can name Mohammad Hossein Mahdavian and Bahram Tabakoli.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of a speech delivered on February 18, 2019 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, during a meeting with the people of East Azerbaijan. The meeting was held at Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya in commemoration of the anniversary of Tabriz Uprising of February 18, 1978.
The capacities of the country are much more than the ones stated in our documents, writings, and speeches. Every corner of the country, including your Azerbaijan and Tabriz, this was correctly mentioned by the Honorable Friday Prayer Leader, is a sea of various economic, scientific, social, artistic, and other such capacities. Every place in the country is a sea of capacity. This year's 10-day Fajr ceremonies and this 22nd of Behman are different. because after years of selfless efforts, the people see today that the echoes of their yell, their oppressed and powerful yell, can be heard clearly in other parts of the world of Islam. What I will say about a revolution, about the great event caused by the Iranian nation, which holds lessons for us, is primarily a picture of the realities of the world, so that we can see what the arrogant powers, the colonialists, the global bullies, and the hegemonic powers wanted and what really happened, so that we can see what they were looking for and what happened in reality. Then, I will point out two characteristics of our revolution which are related to our times.
Allah, Allah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah.
Regarding the first part, which is about presenting a picture of the current situation and comparing it to what the global bullies were looking for, I would like to say that the victors of the First and Second World Wars, mainly consisting of a few European countries and America, had a predetermined policy for the important Middle East region. This was because the Middle East is important in terms of its geopolitical position as a region that connects Asia, Europe and Africa together. It is also important in that its oil fields are among the biggest sources of oil in the world. Oil is vital for all industrial powers that have dominated the world. Moreover, in terms of its population, the Middle East region is home to ancient and deep-rooted nations. Therefore, they adopted a certain policy for this region.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.